he does. I've just gone on a special journey. And the journey has just been going after my heart. Wholeheartedly going after that. The rest is God.
You are a champion, son of the king.
I am. Yes, I'm just, but when I stand out here, I'm looking at 150 champions. Yeah, 151. But what I want you guys to know is that if I'm special, then you are. So don't look at me as though, oh, this guy's got it all together and he's got... We've all been given this. And all I've done is just gone after it. Gone after the promises. I didn't plan any of this. I didn't plan to be in ministry with men. I went to find some men to follow. God said, we'll show you, we'll teach you about that. So just, if you stood on a chair and you felt something in your heart, then just move. You've got a rich story unfolding. Or one waiting to. Get out of neutral. Now, the good news is those two sessions have gone pretty well. The bad news is I only planned two sessions. So how long have we got? No, that's sort of true, and that's okay. One of my steps of growing is actually to trust God and to not think I have to work it all out. We've been talking about wholehearted men. We talked about wholehearted men know who they are. Unless you can say in your heart, I am a son of the king. Even when I don't feel like it, unless you can say that, you won't have a chance of being wholehearted. Unless you get the right picture of who the Father is, you won't come and seek his love and you'll dry out. Unless you go after your heart to heal it and protect it, then you won't be wholehearted. For those who didn't get it, setting captives free. I just made a commitment. I'm going to do what it takes to get free. We're called to fight, fellas. So if you need to write that down, setting captives free, it was 60 days, I'm going to do 60 days. It probably took me 70. That's all right. I'm on the path. And unless you've, like people of course have come and talked to me about that very issue, willpower's not enough. Most of us are lured sexually in life. And what I wanted to make that point is it's not pornography, it's lust. So what I do with my eyes when the girls are serving me in the kitchen is as significant as what I'm doing with this device.
You mentioned the Valley of Man course
before. Yep. Yes.
What you do with the thought when you see the
image. Yeah, yeah.
And a good friend of mine who happens to be in the audience said to me, if you see a beautiful woman...
Can everyone hear him?
Yeah. If you see a beautiful woman and she... And you go, thank you, God, what a beautiful woman. Mm. And then you pray for her, you cannot have a lustful thought.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's a really useful tool
yep.
to have, because we should only ever put our love and our affections and our hearts to the woman that we've been given as a wife.
Mm.
And she should be the only one that we hold up, and she's our God woman.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. We've got to see women as our sisters, as children of God. Yeah, daughters of the King. Don't we want our daughters to be looked upon that way? So unless you go after healing and protecting your heart, guarding your heart, learning how to guard your heart, you will not be wholehearted. The fourth session that we had planned was that wholehearted men don't pick battles on their own. These are big battles. If you're on your own, you're dead in the water. You'll be picked off like nobody's business. You need good men in your life. Men have come and confessed to me today things they've never confessed before. If you haven't got a man in your life that you can freely confess to, you're in trouble. Do you believe me? So I want to talk to you about the significance of good men in your life, and you have to get intentional about this. Who needs good men in their life? I got this email. We had our men's retreat a couple of weeks ago, and that was awesome. And the day before, there was one guy, you know. We just do it in our church. What a joke. We have an awesome ministry that God does amazing things in. There was this one bloke, and I knew he was struggling. Out of our whole congregation of 4,000 or something, there's one bloke I thought, I need to get him there. He's struggling. People have told me he's struggling. First week of registrations, his name's on the list. I thought, good, job done. God's got him already. He's going to be there, so I won't go and invite him. All good. I'll go and invite other blokes. I was out praying on the Thursday before the Friday when we go up the mountain like you guys. Oh, that day, I worked in the morning, then I was out praying. And I got a text from him. Never got a text from him before. Got a text from him. He said, what's your email address? I thought, uh-oh, what's going on here? So I sent him my email address, and I never heard a thing. So I'm out walking and praying that afternoon, and I text him. And what I've learnt, fellas, and I haven't just learned it from watching Watto, but if a man comes into my mind, I communicate to him. God's put it there. This texting thing we've got is such a powerful tool. If God puts a man in your mind, he's prompting you. I just say, God's talking to me about you, how are you going? It takes 2 seconds, and it's a response to God. So I text him. I'm out walking. I think of Jason, and I think, oh, I'm going to text him. Mate, I haven't got any email from you. What's going on? And he said, oh, yeah, I'll send that shortly is the text I get back. I'm out walking and praying, and I got a sense of dread for him. I had fear for him. What's going on for this bloke? So I started praying for him, and I could feel it. I think I might have texted him again. Lord, Jason, what's making it hard for you to come? I knew you wasn't going to come, but he hadn't told me that yet. What's making it hard? Before I get home, I'm out walking, I get this email, and I just get dropped to my knees reading this email, and I'm immediately in tears as I receive it, and I'll share it with you. Hi, Dale. With the men's camp on this weekend, I wanted to encourage you with a tale of what the men's ministry has done in my life. No participants, only players. If you're here, you're a player. Do you know what I'm saying when I say that? Do you know what I mean? You're here. Turn up. Many years ago, I attended one of the first men's camp that you convened at Bridgie. Nervous and afraid, I had no idea what to expect. I remember, anyone felt like that, coming to a Better Blokes thing? Boy, how scary is this going to be? It is scary. It's super scary. Will I be man enough to come amongst men? That's why they're not coming, fellas, that fear. Will they see through me? Will they see that I'm not got it together? That is scary. And all the blokes back at home that wouldn't come, that's what's stopping them. fear. Nervous and afraid, I had no idea what to expect. I remember vividly, however, that you stood up and said that one point in your life, you came to the realization that you did not have any real close relationships with other men. I got up and talked about that. My example was, I was watching State of Origin on my own. So that's not right. Now, keep joking, guys, because you're using up my clock there, which is... Yeah, that's it. I shouldn't have said that. But that was my test. That was a bit of a litmus test for me. Have I got good mates that I'm doing life with or not? Have I got good men in my life or not? I had some men in my life. They weren't real good. So I told them about that, and I said, I got up. And he said, you had decided to become intentional in developing relationships moving forward. Adam wasn't intentional when he needed to be. Intentionality is everything, fellas. So I got up and shared how I went after some fellas. I went looking for good blokes. And I pursued them. I was looking for who can I journey with, who can I do life with. I set a goal, which was to have so many good men in my life I couldn't fit them into my schedule. That was the goal that I set. We've arrived. It's awesome. But so I went out on that. Anyway, let's get back to Jason's story. I, along with many other men there at that camp, strongly identified with you, and I too decided to become intentional in developing real relationships with some guys. Over the following years, I'd attended many men's ministry events and enjoyed working side by side with many guys from Bridgman. Through this, I've developed many good friendships and a couple of particularly close and real relationships with some guys. We meet for small group and talk a fair bit of crap. I love that he put that in there. This isn't all about religion and just doing everything religious. We talk a fair bit of crap. Yeah, just doing life. But we also care for each other. We support each other. And we pray for each other and our families. And there it is, the power of prayer brought in. Personally, I've had a number of life-altering events occur in the past few years, and I've found them going very hard. Personally, see, I'm afraid of reading because I had a little bit of dyslexia or something in school. And you know when you had to get up and read? Oh, man, that was awful. I hated that. I'd stumble over the words, and so I'm a bit nervous when I read. There's a whole bunch of blokes nodding their head. They're either feeling sorry for me or they understand that. But immediately, when I'm trying to pretend like I don't have that problem or I confess it to you, I'm free. See? Yeah. So, yeah, thank you. I'm not doing it for pity. I'm doing it for release. Just get it out there. I don't have to be perfect. Personally, I've had a number of life-altering events occur in the past few years, and I've found the going very hard at times, and yet I've been enormously encouraged and helped by the guys from my men's group. Unfortunately, however, things have continued to spiral downhill in 2017, and the problems pressing me became insurmountable. Around Easter, I came deeply, deeply depressed and planned suicide. In my depression, I didn't feel like I could talk to my wife because of the worry and stress that would cause her. I wanted to protect her. Can you see the warped thinking there? I'm going to protect her from sharing with her that I'm going to kill myself. That's where deep, dark places take you. It was precisely at this time in my life that I needed one true friend that I could talk to and share my fears with. Through men's group, one of the guys could sense how things were becoming from me and was constantly checking in on me. while I put everybody off, isolated and avoided, as you do with depression, this particular guy continued to pursue me, and he cornered me with some straight talk. In the end, he convinced me that I had to come clean with my wife on how sick I was and to seek professional help urgently to intervene in the suicide planning, etc. A very long story short, he kept me accountable and made sure I took the steps required. He followed through. Gutsy. Confronting. Follow him up. I'm now in Pine Rivers Private Hospital being treated and getting the professional help that I need, hence why I can no longer make it to camp this year. I'm only alive today because God used this man and the relationship we had developed directly from the men's ministry. This is the power of the men's ministry. This is the power of what you'll be doing at Men's Camp 2017. I want to thank you for those involved. Your work is valuable indeed. It saves lives. If this story can help one other person, then it's worth telling. If you feel it appropriate, and there is an opportunity, then I'm happy for you to share this email to the blokes this weekend. Just keep it anonymous. Thanks for your friendship and leadership over the years, Dale. And we're truly blessed when God uses men such as yourself to corral us blokes and learn how to be true Christian brothers to each other. Praise God for that. I was brought immediately to tears reading that letter. I had tears for him. What desperate place is he in? I had tears for the man who went after him. What a good fella. And you know what? That bloke was only one step behind him. He was suffering depression badly himself at the time. So it doesn't matter whether you got one leg or whether you... We have got a fellow here with one leg, sorry about that. God will use you. You know, this is what I want you to know. It doesn't matter whether you got it, you don't wait till you got it together. You won't. That's why becoming wholehearted men, I'm here. This is part of my journey. This is stepping out for me. And I had tears that he had the ability to bless us in the middle of his pain. How unbelievable is that? So, we need to journey with other men. It is essential. Now, we've got communication aids these days. You don't have to do it all face to face. But I wanted to tell you about my journey with men, if that's okay. Back when I was struggling with porn, one of the things I needed more than anything was accountability. Someone I could confess to, who wouldn't judge me, and someone who would check on me. So accountability was one of my needs. I got a bunch of Christian blokes together, and I keep considering myself unchurched. I don't know what the protocols of church are. I don't know what a men's Bible study should look like. I don't know what anything looks like, and I don't really interested in the rules. I just knew what I needed and I went after that. So I got a bunch of blokes together and I said, I picked out some guys that I could journey with. We've got a bit of acreage where I am, we've got a fire down the back, so we'd meet around the fire. That's an awesome place to meet with men. You know why? Because they're looking at the fire, not at each other. Men share shoulder to shoulder, not face to face. Go for a walk with a fella. So we'd get around the fire and we'd just share. And it was unbelievable what people were struggling with, what people's victories were, what words of the Bible they were being led by. It was just open and free. One fella said to me, "I don't really want to hear it if you're struggling with pornography." Wow. He's the wrong guy for my group. Took me a long time to work that out. He wanted to just stay religious. He just wanted to stay in the Bible. Well, there's humans here. So we journeyed together for a number of years, and that was good. But I had another man that was following me closely, and he was really envious of me. And he wanted to have the role that I had. And I found as an early leader that was very, very difficult. And so my response to that was to stop that group meeting. I had to get away from this guy, basically, and the only way I knew how to do that was stop that meeting. So for a number of years, I didn't have a men's group. And they were hard years. They were hard years. Now, I have two men that I meet with regularly. I have some fathers, like Watto, and they're all about 70. And they speak different things into me. But you need... Where was that good guy before down here? There was a guy on the floor there before praying, and he put his hand out to me and said, "Can you please, you know, give me a hand up?" Yeah. And I felt the strength between us as we lift. You need a bloke who can see ahead of you. And Watto does that. You know, I met with him one day. Here's what's so funny. I'll tell you two stories about that. We're at a coffee shop. He won't even know this impacted me, but we're at a coffee shop having a coffee together, and the young male waiter came up and said, was serving us, and he said, "Who's got goop on?" And Watto says, "Oh, that's me. That's an aftershave." And I didn't know what that was. And then the bloke said, "Oh, yeah, goop's good stuff." And Watto, and then I said, "What's this good stuff that you're wearing?" And if you go near Watto, he smells good. I said, "Come and show me." There was a chemist next door. We went and bought some goop. Now, that was a very simple story of him fathering me. My father would never have been in a position to do that. Now, guess what I'm wearing today? Not goop. No, I am. But you wouldn't know it, and Ian doesn't know this, but every time I wear that every day. And whenever I pick it up, I think of him. And he fathered me in that. Very, very simple. But I met him recently, and I was talking to him, and he said, "I see you." Here it is. Hear that language? "I see you." Men, we need to know how to say that sentence. We need to know how to say it to our sons. When we see the potential in them, we see it. You don't know it's there. You're just struggling along, trying to do grade 11 or 12 or something. We see it in you. We need those words. You know what he said to me? "I see you as one of the most important young leaders in our country." I said, "What did you say?" "Say it again so I can write it down. Because it's so unbelievable to me." I wrote it down. I keep reading it. He spoke words into me. So fellas, we need to find some fathers. Everything is about seeing. Everything.
You can't see it, you'll never see it.
Absolutely.
Someone else can see it and they tell you, "This is what I see," and then you can see it, then you'll see it.
We've got to help people see. Good old mate up here from Russell Island. He's helping people to see that their wounds are victories. The things that they've battled with, that they've survived through. Daz, is that right? Changing from a victim to a survivor. That's changing how they see themselves. Absolutely. And you know what Satan's doing? He's got lies. You know one of the biggest lies that I battle with? This is a classic. You know what he says to me? "You've got nothing of worth to say." I've battled that for 10 years. Guess what it does? Keeps me shut up and quiet, not playing the part.
Steals joy. Yes.
Steals joy. Steals role. Steals purpose. So we need fathers, fellas. Who's got an older man they meet with? a bunch here. If you don't, if you don't have got a father, whatever age you are, speak in India, then someone won't be able to, someone who can see the next period for you. My pastor spoke to me, he said, Dale, you're 55, nearly 50. I've got plans for you till you're 70. I thought, wow, man, I've been thinking about retirement. He said, no, you're just hitting your paces now. The best is yet to come. Awesome. So I've got men who are seeing my future. I'm trusting them. Trust God with them. You need brothers. So right now, I meet with two men regularly because that's just convenient for me. And one is 65. He's 10 years older than me. And one is 40. We've got three generations meeting together. It's rich. It's good. And we just meet very easily, once again, round the fire. And they encourage me. They pray for me. They lift me up. They call me into ministry. They call me into my purpose. I wanted to tell you about one of the men's groups. Yes, mate. On this occasion, I'm going to let you speak. Yes. Yeah. Thanks for that. That was it. No, just joking. He's prompting me. Here he is. So I've got a wife named Fiona, and we've been married 27 years, as I said. And, you know, she's praying for you. She's praying for me. She's in behind me like you wouldn't believe it. I ring her this morning. She says, how's it going, love? I haven't been able to find much reception here. But I told her about a man that's been transformed here this weekend. She said, I love you for that. Keep going, mate. Keep going. And if we get up and stand up, this is what our wives want. The wives want us leading. They will follow. The poor women in our lives, they're trying to fill the gap half the time. They're doing the leading. God bless them, but we got to be the leaders. So, fellas, there's another men's group in our story I just wanted to share with you. We've got a range of men's groups. Some men's groups are passionate about fishing, like super passionate. And they get together and they go fishing and they use that as an evangelistic tool to get some others along. They're passionate about fishing. They're passionate about fishing for men. We've got other blokes that... we've got the mocker men. I've stirred them up a little bit, I hope. Men of purpose. What they did, they're all old fellas, probably all on a pension. And they all pitched in, so they had $40 a month they could give to some missionaries that are going into Cambodia. So now they're contributing to something. Some more fruit will come from that. There's another men's group that was meeting that I wanted to share with you. A bunch of scrubbers, really. They get together and talk a lot of crap, like these other ones. But they got close. They've got real close. And they have shared their hearts with each other. One bloke's marriage is in big trouble. It's probably about 11:30 if 12 o'clock means divorce. It's very dry. It's hard. This man's doing everything in his power to restore his marriage. And they're praying for him, as they would be. And at one point in the journey, one man stands up and says, that's it. I've had a gutful of this. Let's really pray. So they stand up together and start praying fiercely for this word. Not just some pussy prayer out there. Oh God, please save this marriage. They're going hard. They're fighting through prayer for this marriage, for this man. Nothing's changing. The guy's, man, doing it tough. Doing it real tough. It's looking pretty desperate. The same man gets up a few weeks later and said, I've had a gutful. Let's fast for this marriage. Let's now start buying into this. So they all went fasting for this man's. They're praying for him. They're fasting for him. The wife was in the middle of all this. She knew that their marriage was in trouble. He was doing everything. He was going to counseling. He was doing everything he could. Her heart was so moved that men would be fasting for her marriage. She was convicted she needed to change. And that marriage, in a very short period of time, has transformed. She was virtually sitting next to him or in the lounge room saying, "I don't even want to be near you." And now they're cuddling together 6 months later and going, and she had to transform her heart. She did. She knew God, but she was walking cold. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to be guaranteed. What I'm saying is, when you have mates like that, you've got a chance to be calm and be wholehearted. So, fellas, along the way, I've got to tell you, this journey of trying to find good men is not straightforward. A lot of blokes have let me down. How come? Well, they're just blokes trying to do life. They haven't got it all together. Sometimes they haven't got not much to bring. Sometimes their own foibles get in the way. But I've had to push on and I've had to leave some blokes behind. For my heart, the blokes that I have close to me, I need strong men close to me. And so it changes my mind between who I'm ministering to and who I'm walking closely with. That's two different relationships. Do you get that? And I need good, strong men beside me. They'll falter, and they'll lift me up. But you'd need that. You've got to go after that for your own heart. Now, that's about all I prepared. So we've got half an hour free time. I'm just joking. Not really. I have got more prepared. I prepared one thing. It's a clip, a video clip. Have we got that ready to go, fellas? Just before we do that, yeah. Has anyone got any questions? Once again, I haven't arrived, fellas. I'm just on a journey trying to find my way. Yes? Yeah. Yes?
I met my second wife, Christine, through work, and we were work colleagues, and I was already separated from Susie at that stage after 26 years, and we became friends, and I looked at her and I said, "Wow, what a wonderful girl. She's very smart, she works hard, she's great." And then I also thought, "Well, gee, she's bloody cute too." And I sort of fell in love with her, and I said to God, "I want this woman to be my friend for the rest of my life." And I also prayed that maybe one day we could be a couple.
Mm.
That came true. But it took me a lot of convincing of her to say, "I want to marry you because I want to honour God and I want to honour you." Because she'd had a tough first marriage. So we say to each other, when we're discussing whatever we're doing, we say, "My intention in this relationship is to always love you the best I can. That's my intention. So is hers. But we still fail. But we forgive each other and we reaffirm that intention."
Mm.
So the intentionality of our relationship is, she was scared off by having had a not particularly good marriage and also all the crap that goes around marriage and mothers-in-law and all the bad things we say about the wife, you know, and the trouble and strife, the scrubber, all that stuff, you know. And we have a wonderful marriage so far, and I hope it continues to get better, and I love her more every day. So the intentional thing about saying, "I intend to be your best mate, and I'm going to walk with you no matter what happens, and I'm right here, and I'll hold you up when you've fallen over," and I've lived through that myself with a whole lot of mates when I went through hell myself, is such an important part of being Christian brothers together.
Mm-hmm. Good, thanks, Peter.
to got that person. Like, it's a question as well as a comment, maybe. One thing that's helped me is in regards to my relationship with my Heavenly Father, who's my provider, it actually all comes back to him, because I would often say, I need this bloke, and I was grabbing for people, and really it had to go through the Father. I present my needs to him. I want these blokes you're talking about in my life, and almost had to say, I don't need it. I need you, Father, and only you, and I look to you. He blesses. So if there's a time lag in your life in regards to, I haven't got this, keep going back to the Father, because it's out of that Father-Son that he will give you what you need. And there's times of seasons where you haven't got. They're the times you press in him. And it's amazing how the Father gives you over and above. If it's a faith in something in him, if it's a stronger whatever it is to get through. And then it's always going back to him, and then my relationships are a lot better because I'm not trying to take out of people in what I need for his kingdom. Yep. So maybe a bit of encouragement to keep going back to the Father.
Yes, good.
For your needs, and even if we're talking wife, if you're talking sex, again, you give that to the Father. He's my provider for that. If there's a dry period, it's amazing.
Yeah,
how we can come through.
Yeah,
and then and so I keep saying, then if that's the case, I go, Father, I need you, I need you, and he blesses. I forgot what else I was going to say, but I mustn't.
Good. Up the back there, is it Jeremy? Roger.
Thanks, Dale. You talked a bit about the finding good blokes and, also the potential that's in every bloke to be a good bloke, but how do you find those guys that are the ones that you need to walk with, because sometimes I imagine it's not just about whether they're good, but, whether they're willing to go deep, whether they're willing to share their lives with you. How's that process of finding the right blokes for you to walk with?
The bad answer is trial and error. Maybe that is the answer. So I needed to find people that were looking for what I was looking for, which was to walk heart to heart, shoulder to shoulder, and to be willing to spill our guts, willing to be open, willing to fight for each other. And you probably can't tell that when you meet a bloke. So what I would do is I don't go up to a bloke and say, hey, how about we journey together? I'd start off with, how about we have a cup of coffee together? And I'll start to talk and start to hear his heart. So he's got some needs or some commonalities or common desire. I remember going after a fella who I saw as an intentional father. I went, oh, I've got to go after this bloke. And we probably spent a few years journeying together well, and then that didn't last. And I think there's something okay with that. Something about people come into your life for a reason, or a season, or forever. So I'm looking at the heart and going, is this bloke ready to join me in what I need?
You've got to walk with them before you can dance with them.
Yeah. I'm not dancing with too many blokes just yet, but I am walking closely with some men, which is awesome. Now, we've got a bunch of comments and questions coming up. Yeah.
I went there, Mark's kind of a bit of a boom voice.
Good. Good, Nigel.
You're wanting to, well, he's wanting to know how do you tell.
Yeah.
And I've been through my issues, probably a real sapper. So
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So I've had a big paradigm shift to go from being one to the other.
Mm.
And I'm in the process of it. I'm certainly not there. So it's part of the journey, I guess. We're all just on a different point of that.
It's changing how you see yourself. Some two terms I've got now to work with. Am I a zapper or something else? What was it, a zapper or a zapper? Zapper or a zapper. Great. See, we get a picture. And here's a great contribution. Where am I in that? So there's a bunch of blokes. Are we going all right, fellas? Just the right forum right now. Right over the back corner there. Sat next to you this morning. Forgotten your name, I'm sorry. Ian.
Shop. You wouldn't believe it, but it's open at 6 in the morning and it's amazing. You know, you can just ring a bloke up and say, want to have a coffee. It's so simple, honestly. And I do that with a few blokes shopping and I've caught up a bit. You know, they don't come to your home and it starts there.
Yeah. I would like to put it near your mouth, don't play it around.
Sorry.
There's a bit of fatherly direction.
Thanks, Dion. When can we have coffee, Dion?
Fellas, there's a bunch of guys wanting to contribute, and that's great. It's great. I would just like to probably finish, and then you can have a chat, because there's some good stuff going on here. Is that okay if we just... I'd like to just close off my contribution here. I found this clip a few years ago and it stirs me up, and I think it speaks to us as a part of our role as men. So I want to share this clip to you, with you. We might pray together for good men in our lives, that we may be a good man in others' lives. And then if there's some conversation that needs to occur, we can enter into that. So are you, Dale, have you got it, or somebody up there? Yeah. It's not terribly clear, this guy, so just tolerate that and we'll get the story out of it.
Right over there, and he's very intently watching the buffalo. We're moving right over there. Be very interesting. That is a huge buffalo. It's a huge buffalo.
Oh, the two younger ones gone already.
Don't you think they're around the other one? Is it a little?
They're crouching.
She's quite big.
Does that mean attack position?
No, I think that's what you're saying.
Who is that female? Can't see her.
She's going for him. She got him. Oh, she did. She got him.
Hey, he's gone. He's just dropped a buffalo here.
Oh, my God.
God, did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. Unbelievable.
He's always got a full edge.
You didn't have
a point in this ground. Guys, I'm shaking. Can you believe this? Now, the buffalo are coming to help this one now. Watch.
It's too late. They'll
come and help this baby. Watch.
They're too late. Can they help him now, Frank?
Yeah, they can.
He's still alive, you think?
Oh, he's still alive.
My goodness.
Russell, Russell for Frank.
They're trying to drag him out. They're dragging him out.
Hulle het nou net 'n kleintjie gevang. Hier's lekker action hier so jong. Hulle het 'n kleintjie hier so in die water en die trop is besig om nader te kom.
It's on its back. I have to kill it quickly.
Oh, it's so alive.
Ja, positief. Hulle het 'n klein buffeltjie gevang hier so.
There's a crocodile there too.
Ja, daar's 'n krokodil ook. Ja, daar's 'n krokodil ook hier kleintjie.
The crocodile.
Yeah. Yeah. Check through the barn, there's a cock trying to grab the baby.
Yes. Oh, good gracious.
Oh. Look at this. The crocodile's taking that baby away.
Oh my god.
They're two crocodiles.
They're going to lose it.
Oh my god.
Oh, they're going to fight over it.
Because I'm shaking.
Oh my god.
Look at that. Oh, he's coming
for
huge
crocodile.
Oh, look at
the lions of one.
The lions of one?
Oh, the lions of one.
Yeah, but look at all those buffalo coming.
No, they're going to come and try and chase the lion, but I think they're too late.
I think you're right. They're way too late now.
Oh, they're too late.
Oh, look at the teeth.
Look at them. They're gonna
look at the teeth, Jay.
Look at
them. You're too late. You're too late.
You guys, you cannot believe what's going on here. There's a big terrier between lions, crocodiles, and buffaloes.
Whoa! He swatted at him and kicked at him. He's kicking at him. Look, he's kicking at him.
Oh, jy laat ons nou sien wat hier aangaan, jong. Die buffels is besig om die leeu's te omsingel hier so, en hulle, want die leeu's het 'n klein natie gevang. En hierdie naties wil die leeu's nou bykom. Hulle jag die leeu's links en regs.
Ooh, they got him surrounded.
Yeah, you can come up on me.
That one's...
Look at him!
Ooh!
Chasing
the border.
Come
on,
jump! Chasing him!
Where are you going in the water?
You got the lion on him, run.
He made a beast!
Brave king of the
beast.
The others are doing those. They're going at the end.
Come on, come on!
Jesus.
Never seen that.
I've never seen any of that.
The calf's still alive.
It is?
Yeah, it's trying to get away. It's standing up.
It's still alive.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's going to the
middle
of the water.
It's standing up.
It's
standing up.
It's got him back. They do have him back.
Hierdie buffels en die leeu's weggevang van daai kleintjie af. En
they're going back. They're coming to the other ones.
We're still chasing.
Back in the
canoe.
Oh,
he's
a big star. And they're
two
lions.
Oh, they're
going
back.
Jesus.
This is
the amazing thing I've
ever
seen. I've never seen
him. Look at them running.
There's two left.
Gee, they chased him away.
But they look the one.
They
look the one.
They look the one.
And they got the other one. Come on, buffalo, go on.
And there's another one.
Oh, the big one.
Oh,
big
one.
What was that?
The leader's that lion's injured. You see that? But you see that buffalo throw that one in the
air? Yes.
Yeah. I wonder if they...
Sure,
these are some more coming.
Yeah, I got him. I got him being thrown in the air.
Gnocchi is the, I claim Gnocchi is a little for it, and he comes Gonnie's, that's a yacht. On the lure.
That's a fight in a hole.
That was really something.
Did that one line, if that was lying down?
How many buffalo do you reckon there,
right? Hey, in this little group there, it must be more than 100, eh?
Yes.
I mean, you just take 10.
Yeah.
And it's easy.
He's coming back. He's quick. Yeah, what's the sign?
No, but he's stupid. He's young.
Yeah.
He's a little young.
Where's the little one?
I've never seen anything like this.
Really? Yeah. You've never seen anything?
Never seen anything like this. I mean, I've seen it on video but, and on movies, but how's this?
Well, you can sell that video.
Yeah, yeah, probably. Should double.
When buffalo attack.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that, they're saying. I never saw anything like that small group of men fasting for a marriage. I've never seen anything like it. Just have a quick chat to the bloke either side of you. What is this clip? Like, it's an awesome clip, isn't it? Everyone loves the battle that's going on there. That's fantastic. And but have a quick chat with a... Get next to a couple of blokes if you're not near someone. What was in this clip that's been speaking to what we've been talking about? Have a quick chat where you are. Okay, fellas, I'll call you back in. I hate telling fellas to shut up, but I'm just calling you back in, fellas. I hate to stop you chatting. It's a pretty awesome clip, isn't it? I'd love to hear what you blokes just talked about, but that's not going to be possible because we've got too much to share there. And even, you know, they say blokes don't talk to each other. Blokes need something to talk about. Give them something good to talk about and they'll go after it. And that's what we found in that series that we wrote, that the blokes, what they share, what they explore together. Even to go into God with nothing can be hard for blokes if you've got some direction about, God, speak to me about this and about that. What stirred me about that was these buffaloes walking along. See the big bulls out front? Half asleep. It's sunny, it's pretty cruisy, we're in Africa, it's all good. Are they walking like they know there's danger? Are we walking like we know there's danger? There's lions. What's the scripture, fellas? Someone's got it. There's a lion. Thanks. We've got it up the front.
Yeah, 1 Peter 5:8, the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking someone to
devour. Yeah, seeking someone to devour. Just waiting in the grass. Can't even see him there. If we're walking around blind, we'll get taken out. You know what's worse than getting taken out? Being put to sleep. Where you don't even know you're out. You're turning up to church every Sunday and you think you're doing the Christian thing and you're just cruising. That's those blokes. And the lion's just waiting. Wait, you wait. And you slip up and I got you. Daz?
About recovery, and I heard it many years ago. When we get out of the lion's den, don't go back to retrieve the hat.
I'll be thinking on that one for a while, Daz. Very good. Yeah. So if we're walking around with our eyes closed, that this is a dangerous place, that we're walking in a place where there's a battle on, everyone around us is vulnerable. We need to be with men. Iron sharpening iron. What are they sharpening? What we can see, our focus, how we need to walk together. Iron sharpening iron. So what happened next? The lions took them by surprise. Who does he go after? The lions, who do they go after? The most vulnerable. Yeah, little one, vulnerable one, most isolated. Take them down. Hunt in a pack, there's no chance there. And you got it, mate, you got it. Like, I don't know if you know any 11-year-olds, but you need to. If you don't know any 11-year-olds, Open your eyes. There'll be one next living next door, unborn kids. There'll be a kid next door who's got no father. The world needs fathers. The lion takes them out. Bloody hell, then a crocodile comes. It gets worse. Can you imagine being that calf? Can you imagine being that calf in the middle of that battle? Torn from pillar to post, thinking it's going to die. Some blokes have been there. Some blokes in the room have been there. What the buffaloes do, they ran away, scared. That's why I tell you, I get scared. Just to say, scared's not the problem. Being afraid's not the problem. And what do? Shoulder to shoulder they come back. We are those bulls, fellas. That calf is our community. And the lion's prowling around. If you're a bull on your own, I don't know what the second part of that saying is. You'll be full of BS. I don't know what it is. But if you're a bull on your own, you're not part of the you're not part of the solution, and you're going to be taken out.
I've been this height since I was 15. My whole life from the age of 15, so being this height was not acceptable. From the age of about 20, I used to walk like this, like a kid. It was common challenge for me. And that video reminded me that when I was my full size, and my full strength, and I got a bunch of men around me who would give me permission to be my full size and my full strength, I could do that.
And haven't we been blessed by this man showing up full strength? So, fellas, we've got 10 minutes, and we could... I just don't want to just start staying up here. What I want to invite you to do is actually just pray with the fellas next to you. Whatever the prayer is about strength of men together, whether we need to find some good men, we've got 10 minutes. Let's bring it to prayer. If you're sitting on your own now, then you need to get with a couple of blokes. God's waiting for us to show up. He's waiting to call us. So let's take this to prayer, the story this morning.